Earlier today, Pope Francis canonized Saint Teresa of Calcutta, the famous woman of the Nun of the Gutters, as they called her, because she would literally pick people out of the gutters of India and nurse them to health where it was possible, or at least to help them to die a dignified death. One man said, "I lived like an animal, but I'm dying like an angel." And that was what she was all about. I was very blessed to have been in the presence of two saints, Pope St. John Paul II, who was canonized in 2014, and also St. Teresa of Calcutta. And I don't know if some of you were there at the Cajun Dome when she came in July of 1986. I was there, and there was a beautiful mass, and she talked, and then she said, "I'm going to leave you a big gift. I'm going to give you four of my sisters." And so ever since then, we've had four missionaries of charity living and ministering in Lafayette to the poorest of the poor. And afterward, when we left the Cajun Dome, there was a double rainbow in the sky. And it was a sign, I believe, of God's blessing upon that gathering and the work and the spirit of St. Teresa of Calcutta. And then a few months later, I was in Rome going to the North American College for my theology studies, and the Pope called for a World Day of Prayer for Peace in Assisi, the town of St. Francis. And our choir was invited to go and sing at the Pope's Mass during that day, and there was Mother Teresa at that event, so the two saints together. And I worked at one of her soup kitchens in Rome, close to the train station, so a lot of beggars, a lot of migrants coming through, and we fed them and housed them where needed. And another time, we had heard that she was going to be at one of her convents in Rome, so a few of us seminarians went for the Mass, and there she was in the back of the chapel, kneeling on the ground, as they do, and we attended the Mass, and afterwards went outside, and she greeted us and gave us all a holy card. And I'm still trying to find that card because it's a relic now, but I don't know exactly where it is, so I'm sure it's in a box somewhere. But I remember something she said. She was very gracious, but one thing she said was, "If you don't want to be a holy priest, get out of the seminary. We don't want you. We only want holy priests." And that stuck with me, and I'm trying to be holier. I still go to confession regularly, but it is something that we are responsible, certainly, for doing. So that's why we always ask you to pray for us. And how appropriate that she is being canonized during this year of mercy, because she was the woman of mercy, the works, the corporal works of mercy, and the spiritual works of mercy as well. When she would describe herself, she would say this: "By blood, I am an Albanian," from Albania. "By citizenship, I am an Indian. By faith, I am a Catholic nun. As to my calling, I belong to the whole world. As to my heart, I belong to the heart of Jesus." And how appropriate that she truly was so close to Jesus, our Lord, that she could see him in every person. She was born in 1910, the third of three children, a good Catholic family in a mostly Muslim country. Her father, Nicholas, was a successful building contractor and spoke several languages, and apparently her name was Agnes, her baptismal name, given name, and she got that gift from her father, which would be very helpful later on. Her mother, named Dranafil, was a very charitable woman. Agnes would see her mother wash and feed an alcoholic woman who had sores all over her. And Agnes would see her mother once a week go and clean the house and feed an old abandoned woman. At lunchtime, often beggars would come to their door and ask for food, and the mother would divide up the food that they had for their meal and share it with them. So this was something that was impressed upon Agnes from very on, early on in her life, and it was very natural for her. At the age of 9, her father died, very possibly poisoned after a political rally. And his business partner took everything that they had except for the house. So Dranafil had to go to work to support the family, but raised the kids with a very deep faith and a great devotion to Mary. At the age of 12, Agnes felt already a call to become a nun. And finally, at the age of 18, she finally got her mother's permission to leave and go to the Loretto Sisters in Ireland and spend her first year there. And then she was sent to India, to Calcutta. And we heard in the gospel today, Luke chapter 14, that we all have to be willing to give everything up, right? All of our possessions, carry our crosses. And when he says, you gotta hate your father and mother and even yourself, what does he mean by that? Because God does not want you to hate your parents, children. Don't do that, all right? But it's a very Hebrew way of speaking. It's an exaggerated way of speaking to say that you have to prefer God above all things. Yes, God must be first in our life, even above our parents. First and foremost is God, and then our family, and then everybody else, and then ourselves. Everything in proper order is what he means by that. And to be willing to give everything up. You know, the religious have to do that as a vow of poverty. But we, living in the world, have to use our possessions for the greater glory of God. And don't let them possess us, you know, where they take control of us. And that's often what Mother Teresa saw in the United States and in Europe. She said, in the eastern part of the world, you know, the third world countries, they have physical poverty. But in this part, there's spiritual poverty because people are so smothered by their material possessions that they often neglect God, or they don't experience true love. And even though with all these things, they don't have love. And so she said, this is even a greater poverty. So she was given the name Therese, and she chose that name for her religious order name after Therese of Lisieux, the little flower, because she was attracted by that spirituality of doing one thing at a time, one person at a time. Every little thing done in a great way with love is a great thing in the eyes of God. And one day she was traveling on a train to Darjeeling in India, and she saw all of these poor people and people dying on the streets and just masses and masses of people. And she really felt compelled by Jesus to go out and help these people. As a matter of fact, he interiorly spoke to her. He said, come be my light. And I need you to go out to these people. I can't do it alone. I need you to go out and keep me inside of you. And later on he said, I want free nuns covered with the poverty of the cross. I want obedient nuns covered with the obedience of the cross. I want full of love nuns covered with the charity of the cross. And he said, will you refuse this of me, Teresa? And she said, no, Lord, I will go out to the poorest of the poor. So she had these interior revelations, but after that, she went into spiritual darkness. 50 years of spiritual interior darkness, no consolation. And yet she always had a smile on her face, and she continued to do what she knew Jesus had called her to do. She was called to a very deep, as the mystics are, a very deep experience of the cross, of what Jesus experienced, taking all the sins of the world upon his heart and experiencing that kind of abandonment of the Father. So she experienced that, and yet she pushed forward with her great love. And we know all of the rest is history. The Missionaries of Charity, there's now some 4,000 of her missionaries around the world, 400 brothers in the men's order, and lots of volunteers that have associated themselves with her. And certainly we can do that too, right? Wherever we are, we can reach out to people around us. She said, little things are indeed little, but to be faithful in little things is great. And we can all do little things, right? Maybe we can't be great missionaries in the world, but we can do little things, loving the people in our family, in our workplace, and wherever we are. That is a great thing in the eyes of God. A couple of lessons that she taught. One, she was called to go and be the keynote speaker at a big conference. And when she got to the front door of the conference, there was a beggar there, and in a very destitute situation. And so she and the nuns helped this beggar and brought him back to their convent and nursed him to health. And the director of the conference called her and said, Mother Teresa, where are you? You're the keynote speaker and you're late. And she said, better to speak about poverty is to do something about it one person at a time. And so that's what that person went and talked to the whole conference and said that. So she never came, but they learned a good lesson. There was somebody at that front door, and if they had just taken care of that one person at a time, that was her spirituality. Another thing, there were very destitute people in India, some people dying in the streets, maggots in their body, and they would take them to their convent, take those maggots out one by one. And somebody in the United States had gone and watched her doing this and said afterwards, they said, Mother Teresa, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. And Mother Teresa responded, and neither would I, but I'll do it for Jesus. Because she saw that that was the body of Christ right in front of her and that she needed to take care of that body of Christ. She could do it for Jesus, but she wouldn't do it either for $1 million. She said, I see Jesus in the distressing disguise of the poorest of the poor. In every chapel of the Missionaries of Charity, on the wall there's a crucifix, and next to it are the words, I thirst. The words of Jesus from the cross, right? Jesus was thirsting for our love, more than just for liquid. Jesus was thirsting for our love, for our response to his love. And so Mother Teresa wanted to quench that thirst of Jesus by loving him through prayer and through worship like we're doing today, but also when we go out the doors to quench his thirst in the body of Christ out there in the world, in those people that we meet. So that's something we can all do in our own little way. And in that way, it will be a great thing in the eyes of God, and we will quench the thirst of Jesus and our own as well. Amen.